My dearly beloved in Christ, it is wonderful that we have one day of the year set aside to honor all of the saints in heaven, because they are very dear friends of God and we ought to honor the saints. But of course, there are so many that we no doubt cannot possibly do so throughout the year. We only honor a certain number. And as is listed, as stated in today's epistle by St. John from the Apocalypse, he saw in heaven a great number, a great multitude, which no man can number. He says, from every nation and tongue and race of people. How many saints are there in heaven? Thousands upon thousands, millions. And only a small number are canonized. Now, when we say the word saint, we can take it in two senses. In the wider sense, in the big sense, it would include even us. Anyone who is in the state of sanctifying grace can be referred to as a saint. And if you read the epistles of St. Paul, he speaks about the early Christians as the saints in Corinth, or the saints in Ephesus, etc., referring to the early Christians. And we recall the doctrine of the communion of saints, the church triumphant, the saints in heaven, the church suffering, the saints in purgatory, because they are in the grace of God, and then the church militant would be all the members of the church on earth. And pray God, we all are in the state of sanctifying grace. So in a wide sense, the word saint would include all the members of the communion of saints. But in a particular sense, a more narrow sense, we refer to the saints as those who are in heaven, especially those who are canonized. And speaking of canonized saints, how does that come about? So a person lives a life that appears to his or her peers, those who know this person, as being a very holy person. And when this person dies, and dies, as they say, in the odor of sanctity, then the person would be referred to as a servant of God. And if the person goes through the process of canonization, after a very thorough examination of conscience on whether or not this person practiced the virtues to a heroic degree, the Pope would sign a decree declaring the person venerable, if it again has been demonstrated that he or she practiced the virtues to a heroic degree. The person would then be called venerable. And then the process goes on, a very rigid juridical process examining every aspect of the person's life. And if the person passes the test, and there are at least two miracles, unquestionable miracles testifying to the holiness of this person, then a pope would proclaim that person blessed. And after a period of time, continue thorough examination, and if there are at least two more miracles, then the person could be declared a saint, canonized, as we say. And we are obligated to honor the saints. Now, what's the difference between beatification and canonization? Well, one who is declared blessed would be considered a saint, but only allowed to be honored in a local area where the person lived. I couldn't, for instance, have a stained glass window of a blessed in the church, only in the area where he or she lived. But once one is canonized, then that person is honored universally in the church. And there's a famous term that is used for a person, a very important person, in the canonization process, as the devil's advocate, a nickname, you might say. Well, the proper name for that person is a promoter of the faith. And that priest that's designated by the Pope as the promoter of the faith does everything he can to derail the canonization process. And the reason why that role is important is because the church wants to make sure, if someone is canonized, that there wasn't something negative about that person that wasn't brought out in the process. So that's the role of the promoter of the faith. So just like you have in a court trial, a prosecutor and then a defending attorney, so you have a similar process in the canonization of saints. And so one who has gone through that and is canonized is certainly, there's no question. In fact, canonizations are infallible. The church is saying to us, for certain, this person is in heaven, and you can pray to that person. Now again, there are many, many, many saints in heaven who have never been canonized. Some of those who have never been canonized might even have a higher place in heaven than one who was canonized. But we honor, and that's why we have this feast, to honor all of the saints. And I mention this about the saints in heaven because we have seen over the last 50, 60 years, an explosion of canonizations. I read a statistic that between the year 1588 and 1958, when Pope Pius XII died, there were about 300 canonizations. So a given pope might canonize 5, 10. I think Pope Pius XII canonized 16 or 17 persons, which is considered a very large number. Pope Benedict XV, who was pope from 1914 to 1922, only canonized 3 persons during his reign. So several hundred persons formally canonized from after the Council of Trent up until Vatican II. But over the last 50, 60 years, there have been something like 1,700 canonized. Now, why do I mention this? Because by having a multiplicity of canonizations like this by these modern Vatican II popes, what happens is it diminishes what canonization is. And I would like to use a very mundane comparison. Sports, professional sports leagues have what's called a Hall of Fame. So there's a baseball Hall of Fame and a basketball Hall of Fame and a football Hall of Fame. And the idea is those players that were extremely gifted were excellent players, the greatest of the great, you might say. Those are put into the Hall of Fame. And there's a process, they have to be voted in, etc. But if you put in every player who's just a good player, maybe not a great player, but a good player, then what it does is it diminishes the accomplishments of those that are in the Hall of Fame by putting just any good player in there. So by having this explosion of canonizations over the last 50, 60 years, again, it diminishes those saints who have been canonized traditionally. And another thing, it used to be, it still is in the true church, 2 miracles for beatification and 2 more for canonization. So that was reduced to 1 and 1. And sometimes they don't even require a miracle. And These miracles of these have been recently canonized in the modern church. Many times they are just simply someone got better, but it wasn't an instantaneous cure. For something to be certified as a miracle that was worked by the intercession of a particular saint, it must be verified that it was instantaneous. There's no natural explanation. And some of those that have been accepted as miracles to canonize or beatify, some of these more recent ones have been very questionable insofar as miracles. So we know that those saints who have been traditionally canonized in the church before Vatican II are truly very dear souls. They are definitely in heaven and they can intercede for us. And we should want to learn about them. You hear such and such a saint. I always enjoy if there's a saint I didn't know about and read about and learn about another saint in heaven. And we also should invoke them and above all strive to become like them, imitate their holy lives. So let us today rejoice in honoring the saints and especially pray with their help and their intercession that one day we might join their holy company. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen.